It is a pleasure to welcome all of you this evening, most especially in light of the fact that getting here for many has been quite a challenge. Several people here tonight, 3 days after the storm, shared with me the fact that they still have no power in their home. And navigating the streets here in Westchester is definitely challenging. A lot of the streets are blocked off.
And
we're delighted that all of you could come this evening. Our lecture tonight is a memorial lecture. It is being sponsored by very dear friends of JEP, who've been sponsoring this memorial lecture each and every year. Sydney and Firma Pfeiffer, where we have a very close friendship that goes back to the days prior to our living in Westchester. I used to be involved in giving a shia in Kew Gardens Hills to a group of young men. That goes back over 22 years ago. And we've been very, very fortunate to retain such a special friendship with Sydney and Firma Pfeiffer. So we're delighted to have them tonight. Tonight's lecture is in memory of their parents, Aleichem HaShalom. I would like to point out that both the Kleins and the Pfeiffers that we are remembering tonight were people who were builders of Torah and were people who were very, very involved in the pursuit of chesed with great enthusiasm. And even though I did not have the privilege to know them, but I certainly am able to glean a lot of information about them just by looking at their kids. And we hope and we pray that our being here tonight and our learning the words of Torah that we will hear very shortly from Rabbi Neiman will facilitate the Aliyas Neshama, the elevation of their departed Neshamas in Gan Eden. Generally, there are three areas that I touch on when we have a lecture. I did mention the fact that it's a memorial lecture. I also generally acknowledge the hosts, but since we're here in JEP tonight, and I guess I'll suffice it to say, I guess we'll consider our hostess tonight to be the Rebbetzin, who really did a tremendous amount to set things up. And what she does all year long certainly keeps us going. And whenever you see anything go right in JEP, you can assume that she has a lot to do with it. And if you see something that's not going so well, you could assume that she's not involved. So we're very delighted to have the Rebbetzin tonight. We know that one of the problems that people are having in terms of homes being flooded is due to the fact that even if people have a sump pump that pumps water out of their basement, but because of the fact that so many homes are without power, so the sump pumps they're useless. And the only way to solve that problem, of course, is if a person is fortunate enough to have a generator. If somebody has their own private generator, so then they hook it up to the sump pump and they have power and they're all set. I will tell you that tonight we have with us, I'd like to introduce to you an individual, my Rebbe, who the best way that I can think of to introduce him is to say that he is a Torah generator. That's what he is. He's a Torah generator. And he's actually, when I came to Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim to begin my studying there after I graduated from college, my very first opportunity to learn Torah was with Rabbi Neiman, Rebbe Umori. And I still remember that day. It was actually in Yerushalayim because that year the entire yeshiva relocated to Yerushalayim. I still remember when, with great trepidation, 6,000 miles away from home, I walked in, I sat down, and Rebbe came in, and he, you know, he right away made everybody feel very comfortable. And the warmth of Rebbe in his relationship with his Talmidim has been critical in terms of really helping people develop themselves in Torah. Actually, Rebbe has been saying shiurim, and he's been with, and he's also been in the mashgiach of the Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim for how many years would you imagine? He started giving shiurim in Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim 60 years ago. Can you imagine how many lives Rebbe Umori has changed? He's had so many hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim, and the impact that I know that the impact on these Talmidim has been an enormous impact. How do I know that? Because I know about the impact on myself. I know that the inspiration that I received from Rebbe, how Rebbe whetted my appetite for learning Torah and for staying in the yeshiva, which I did for 13 years, his influence, his personal influence, made a very critical difference in terms of my own development. One thing I will tell you is that as the mashgiach of Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim, which when I came there back in 1968, there were all of 60 students in the yeshiva, and there were, I remember, 5 individuals who were married, young married fellows, no children, you know, guys who just got married. Now the yeshiva has approximately 400 students. About 250 of them are married, and I think now there certainly are something, you know, among these families you're looking at, you know, about 1,000 children. Can I know her? And over the years, one of the things that this is still ongoing, that people will come over to Rabbi Neumann and they will discuss their personal issues. They will seek advice. When there's a halachic problem that needs addressing, Rebbe is there, and people call him up. I mean, now the yeshiva has spread out. They have branches all across the country. Rebbe gets phone calls from all across the country. Rebbe's former disciples are still in touch with him, very much so. And, of course, I call Rebbe myself, and I continue to benefit from his great wisdom and from his personal interest. So it is certainly a very great honor for us to have Rabbi Neumann with us tonight. I would like to say that our learning tonight of the Divrei Torah that we will hear from Rebbe, we hope, will also facilitate a refuah shlema for Rebbe's wife, the Rebbetzin Neumann, who is recuperating. She recently had a knee replacement. She had developed an infection, and she really needs our tfilos, and she needs she needs a refuah shlema. So we want to bear in mind her name, Shena Rachel Bas Chaya Breiner. Also, there's a young lady that I was informed tonight is quite ill, is about to have some surgery, and we would like to have in mind her name as well for Shlema, Adina Malka Bas Chana Golda. Without further ado, it is a great kavod, a great honor for all of us, and especially for myself as Rebbe's Talmud, to introduce to you all Rav Shmuel Neumann. By the way, a special thanks to Rabbi Neumann for coming tonight, because tomorrow night, one of Rebbe's grandchildren is going to be getting married. So, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. And by the way, some of you know one of Rebbe's grandchildren, because about a month ago, Yaakov Neumann, who was the one who organized the Kumsitz, that's Rebbe's grandson. So we have a very, very direct and important connection. So without further ado, Rebbe Umori.
We both, after such warm words, I'm a little flustered. The truth of the matter is, this is a watershed evening for me. I've spoken here for this group twice, I think. And I speak every once in a while, but this is the first time that I had this happen to me. What happened to me? Once you asked me to speak, and we made up. I'll come. So I took out my diary, my notebook, and I started taking notes. That's about a week and a half. I have the notes, and keep on adding to them. What I say? This afternoon, I sat down. Where is my notebook? I couldn't find it. I said, maybe I should bring my grandson with the guitar, the band. Anyway, but we hope it'll work out all right. I just want to mention the very outset. I have here a pamphlet that I once received from Mori Hagoyim of Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. As you know, Rabbi Scheinberg is one of the biggest poskim gedolim we have today, and he was Mashgiach before I came. Not that I took his place, I just came instead of him, but I didn't take his place. And he was a little upset with what our women have to go through before Pesach. They take upon themselves too much, really too much. So he put together a little pamphlet, Claim for the Pesach and Enjoy the Seder. He was very, very concerned that the housewife should come to the Seder relaxed and enjoy it. And we know of cases they came and they couldn't stay awake. They were just exhausted. So he put together this pamphlet to make it a little easier, which is Al Pi Halacha 100%, but just void of any chumras. And I'm going to leave this pamphlet with Reb Moshe, and I'm sure anybody wants it, he'll give you a copy. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We had Rosh Chodesh Adar, both very, very important months. In fact, the first mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And here we're leaving Rosh Chodesh Adar and going into Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha." When the month Adar comes, we should increase our simcha. However, "Mishenichnas Ov Mamaitim Simcha." Ov, every 3 weeks, 7, 9 days, time of mourning, we should decrease our simcha. It's a Gemara. However, when you look at the Rambam does not bring the entire halacha. The Rambam just brings Mishenichnas of Memaitim Simcha. But Hakert, the aspect of Simcha in the Chodesh Adar, he doesn't bring. All right, there are several truths on this Rambam. But I want to mention something I heard from Rav Moshe. And I might mention, Agav, I will mention Rav Moshe Feinstein several times. You probably all know, I'm sure, Rabbi Moshe Goldstein was the Gadol Hador. He passed away about 22 years ago. I had the schus, the privilege to have a session with him, with others, once a week for many, many years. And it was an unusual person. And a Gadol B'Yisrael, but a Gadol B'Yisrael, but nevertheless, there were times he saw a woman comes in with a letter. Rebbe, please, in Yiddish, read the letter for me. It was written in Polish, and she didn't know Polish. So he sat down and read it. Someone comes and says, Rebbe, what time is Lichten today? He would tell. He had no errors about him. He'd go out of his way. He used to spend a lot of time preparing his shir, his lecture, but he was about to start his shir, and I saw this. If there was someone walking around the back of the Beis Medrash, he wouldn't send a bocher or a talmud. He wouldn't say, maybe I can help you. Listen, before I start the shir, can I help you in some way? That's what he was. And I hope to mention several times in reference to what we're going to discuss today. But what did Rav Moshe answer? In, as I say, perhaps in a very light fashion, he says, Simcha? Mishnechnas other Marvin Simcha, just when other comes around, you have to be in Simcha a whole year and not just another. That's what the Rambam is bringing. But as I say, he himself had other truths in this Rambam. When I spoke about I mentioned Rosh Chodesh. Yesterday we bent Rosh Chodesh. And I remind myself that I thought was very interesting. It was very moving when I heard it the first time and I read it. And I'd like perhaps tell you what I saw and what's involved. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a group of young men from the yeshiva who go out of their way every Friday afternoon to visit the old age home and spend time with the senior citizens. Some don't have a mishpacha, and they're alone, and they spend time to talk with them. This organization is called Sha'al Zakeinecha. Asked the Zakeinim, the elders, what they need, how you can help them. Spend time with them. He told me one individual name was Tzvi. Tzvi comes from Poland. And when he was about 14, 15 years old, the First World War, things were going very difficult for Poland. And I can tell you, later my father was there also, I'll mention something. And he knew they would grab him, either put him into the army, even though he was only 14 years old, or put him to work. He said he had to get out of Poland. He worked very hard, he ran, he climbed, he got rides. Eventually, he reached Austria. He comes into Austria, there Shabbos. Where does it go? This is a big shul, Strauss, the famous Strauss shul in Austria. Starts starving there, and it was Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. They're going to bench Rosh Chodesh in a couple of days. At the time there was a bench Rosh Chodesh, the Gabbai gets up, Rosh Chodesh Yeh B'Yom HaShishi, and stops. And everybody looks at Yom HaShishi. How many minutes? How many seconds? You always mention Chalukim, how many Dakas? What is it? It's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, but what, 5 o'clock? How many minutes? How many seconds? There was no consummation of what, how many minutes or seconds. And the Gabbai right away recognized from the oilim that they were startled a little bit. They couldn't understand. Rabboisa, Herz Chaim, I must tell you something. What you're witnessing today, what you hear today, is a phenomena that happens once in 87 years. Only once in this 87 years do you bench Rosh Chodesh, and it's exactly on the hour. No minutes and no seconds. Once in 87 years, and this is one of them. And Altir Bichas Hedya Kal Beinecha, let not the brocha of a hedya be small. I wish you all that you should be zeche to experience this phenomenon again. Still quiet. People, all of a sudden, all of a sudden there was a... There was a voice rang out, Amen! That was this young boy, Tzvi. Tzvi was the only one that answered. He answered a very loud, Amen! Tzvi tells these young Bochum the Shiva, and I want you to know, I didn't have an easy time. Austria got involved. I was there for a number of years, but it wasn't war, and then Hitler came in. Come. I went through many tribulations, many difficulties. Finally, I reached Eretz Yisrael. But I honestly believe the only reason I was here, I'm here today, is because I said that Amen with all my heart, with all my might. And that's who's I'm here today. And he added, 2 more years, and I'll experience it for the second time, and the bracha will become a reality. The bracha that answered Amen to, that would become a reality. But it does show you the importance of saying Amen. I have a personal relationship with that because my father also had problems in Poland. They drafted him, and they called him up, but he ran away. He ran, and he ended up in America, and his family, 87 people were all killed out. Only he, his family, and 2 cousins remained alive. But when I was a child, my father was not Zecheinu Bruch was not a Talmud Chacham. In Poland, 13, 14 years old, he had to go work. He had 8 sisters. His father sat and learned the whole time. Mother couldn't support the whole family. He had 8 sisters and 1 brother. The brother was a Talmud Chacham. But he took upon himself to help support at 13, 14, went to work. But all my life, I remember, in shul, he used to say, Nuzog emen, yeshme rabba, amen, bochu bochshmo. He was insistent that the children, I and my siblings, should answer, amen, amen, amen. I would like to mention, I see here that pathway to future redemption. Pesach is coming. Shabbos HaGadol, just for Pesach, we have a unique Haftorah, Maftan Haftorah. And we read, Hine Onochi Shaleach Lachem, Hashem is speaking, and God tells us, I'm sending to you Elio Hanovi, Lifnei, when? Before, Bor Yom Hashem HaGadol Vanova. That means that there's going to be a din v'cheshbon. Each and every one of us has a reckoning for his actions, for his inactions, for his mitzvahs, and something he didn't perform properly. And the Gemara Darshan is very interesting. There are three expressions here. Yom Hashem, HaGadol Vanora. Yom Hashem, that's Yom Hamisa. When a person passes on, there's a din v'cheshbon. They take into account his mitzvahs, his averus, and the consequence, we hope, is very positive. Actually, to me, Yom HaShem is Yom Kippur. First is Yom Kippur. There's then the Yom Kippur, what the next year will be. HaGadol, that's Yom HaMisa. Yom HaMisa, there's then the Cheshman, there's a reckoning, how you conduct yourself throughout your life. Vanora, what's the third time? The third time period? Now, Noah is the time of redemption. Bias HaMashiach. Tchias HaMason. That's, so again, Hashem means Yom Kippur. HaGadol is when you die. Hanorah is a time of redemption. Sir Van Kotler once asked Akasha, if you had a day of reckoning on Yom Kippur, and you had a very comprehensive one, you would die. What do you mean, the Yom of the redemption, there'll be another one? How can there be another one? Came she mace, nif the men a mitzvah, there's no mitzvah, there's no, nothing, jijukim b'kaim. So he answers very well. He says, something that's very nogeya to what Rabbi Zaitchik is doing, which you're all part of. And I'm proud of it because Rabbi Zaitchik was my Talmud. I'm very proud of what he does, he says. Rabban answered very simply. He says, what did you do? You lived for yourself? Perhaps you shared your understanding and your appreciation of Yiddishkeit being a Torah Jew with others? You brought someone closer to Yiddishkeit? You had a shbah in him? You mentioned him? And maybe what? You made him maybe about tshuva? You made him religious? And what's his family? If the father, the mother is religious, then the father, the son falls in. The son, the grandson, all the way ad bias HaMashiach, until the day of redemption. So everything that happens subsequently, anything you were an assist, you brought in people for Shabbos. Didn't try to proselytize them, but you just showed what Shabbos is. You befriended him. You helped him in being a good neighbor. He saw what a religious Jew is. And that brought him closer to Yiddishkeit, brought him, his family, and his children. So that's what you did. That Maisa Tov cannot be appreciated until Bais HaMashiach, until the day of redemption. Because then you understand what and to what extent your Maisa Tov, what you did by bringing this individual closer to Judaism, to make him think more about it. And maybe you made a Shomer Shabbos out of Kvaldik. You made someone Shomer Shabbos? Vishar and Kamo. I remember I was in Tor Vidas, and Moshe Mahaymer Zochanei Brocha was the main Rosh Yeshiva, then Adam Godel Ab Yod. I remember it was a very, very, not rainy day, but a big snow, one of the biggest snows. And in his shir, Talmidim, instead of 20, 25, 30, there were only five. And he got up and said the shir, as he did every day, with the brin, with the slavas, all the kechas. Rebbe, There's only four or five of us. You don't have to put so much crackers into it. Says, it's vos retter. I'll tell you in English. What do you mean four or five? I have you, and I have a hashbar on you. If I affect you, then it's going to carry over to your children, to your family. I'd be as a Mashiach. I'll have a chayuk in everything that comes out of my learning. The hashbar I have, the influence I have on you and your children, I'd be as a Mashiach until redemption. In other words, you can do something to bring someone closer to Yiddishkeit, and there are far repercussions in his family, small or big, whatever it is. But you get a reward for that. On this day of reckoning, which day of reckoning? Take, the day of redemption when Mashiach comes. But you are going to, there's going to be a cheshbon, what you did while you were alive and what the subsequent consequences were, the tova. And you get that smirk. Those mitzvahs are yours. If you remember, Avraham Avinu's nephew was captured. And immediately, Avraham rallied his forces and went to action. And he overpowered the enemy, he got back his nephew, and also he saved Melech Sdom. Wonderful victory. The Yom Melech Sdom El Avram. The king of Sdom said to Avram, I see what you did. I appreciate what you did. Ten me a nefesh. Let me just take the nefesh. The soldiers, I'll take them. V'achush kachloch. And you can take the booty. The booty of war. You can take everything. Just give me the nefesh. You take the spoils of war. What did Avram answer him? The Yom Avram Melech Sdom. Hari Moshe Yodid El Hashem, I swear, Kone Shemaim V'Oretz, in Michutz V'Adzrok Nal in Ekach Mikol Asheloch. I won't take anything, I won't take a shoestring. V'lo Somar Ani Heshart Es Avram. Because you people will say, why did I do it? Why did I go to Mochoma? Because I wanted the spoils, what I could get. I don't want that. He was completely altruistic. Akiddush Hashem. Akiddush Hashem. He put himself into life. Life into danger. He went out to battle. He's a victorious, but he takes nothing. Not even a shoelace, he says. So Sodom took both. He took the rechush, he took the spoils, he took the booty, and he took the nefesh. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, and shows chronologically how it happened, that Avraham Avinu was punished very severely. Avraham Avinu and the future Doris because of what happened here. But let's analyze what happened here. A gvaldik Kiddush Hashem? Do we know what a Kiddush Hashem is? Certainly, this is it. A man punts himself in life, puts him in danger, and doesn't accept anything in reward. He's entitled to it. That's a Kiddush Hashem. I found something very interesting about Kiddush Hashem. The Beis Yosef, the big Shulchan Aruch we have, was written by the Beis Yosef. And it's the mainstay of Halacha today. For many, many years, it's all built on that. The Beis Yosef was an unusual tzaddik. And he had a maggid that used to sit and learn with him. And the maggid would learn with him, but once the maggid told him something, he says, I want to tell you that you will be zeicher, you will merit, that you should die in Kiddush Hashem. A Jew, die in Kiddush Hashem? That's wonderful. I hope we should be on Madriga to really appreciate what that means, but that tzaddikim wanted that. They wanted to be killed al Kiddush Hashem. And this is what the maggid told the Beis Yosef. You will die of Kiddush Hashem. You're entitled to it. Time passes. The Vert Elter and the Be'esh Yosefet. What's happening here? Nothing happening to me. says, he called in the Magen. He says, you know, I'm quite sick. The doctor says it's very serious. And you told me I would dial Kiddush Hashem? What did the Magen answer him? He said, what is Kiddush Hashem? Kiddush Hashem is only one act, one time act of heroism, which is talking very, very difficult and is a tremendous word. However, if someone overcomes the challenges and the obstacles which we are faced with every day, and he does it in such a way that that's a Kiddush Hashem, that's a bigger Kiddush Hashem. It's a Kiddush Hashem every day. Now Kiddush Hashem is once, but the way you conduct yourself, the way you lived, that the whole Mahalach, every day was a Kiddush Hashem, that's much greater. So this is your Kiddush Hashem. When I was in Tov HaDas, the Rosh Yeshiva was Reuven Grzevsky. I wasn't a shiur, but I heard one shiur from him, but it was an ungod al miyot. And I saw something very interesting. He learned in Slabotsky Yeshiva, and his father passed away. This was a day before he was to be married. He's going to be married the next day, and he's an ovel and has to say Kaddish. So someone was about to go over to him. The Alton Slabotka stopped him. He said, don't say a word to him. He says, what's the whole concept of saying Kaddish? Because it's the Kiddush Hashem for the Nifter. But he conduct himself. Reuven Grzevsky conduct himself in such a manner. His whole life was a Kiddush Hashem. That's the biggest squeeze possible for his father. He don't tell him. Say Kaddish. He doesn't have to say Kaddish. This shows you what Kiddush Hashem is. Our Kiddush Hashem is tremendous. And here, getting back to Avraham Avinu made a Gevaldike Kiddush Hashem. No booty, no spoils of war, nothing. Night in Mesulis. And he was punished. He was punished. Why? Why was he punished? Certainly was a Kiddush Hashem. No one's going to doubt that. Gevaldik Kiddush Hashem. Shiva told us very simply, yes, Kiddush Hashem is tremendous, but there's something bigger than a Kiddush Hashem. Bigger than a Kiddush, yes. Bigger than living your life, Torah, every day, like the Beis Yosef did, Abraham Grzovsky, that type of, is something bigger than that? Yes. Kiruv, outreach, helping people become religious, bringing them closer to the Yiddishkeit. That is bigger than a Kiddush Hashem. You gave him the spoils, right, but the nefesh, the soldiers you should have taken and made them Jews out of them. Kiruv, outreach, that's much bigger than Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is givaldik, no question about it, you see. But there's something bigger than that. And that's the type of work that this Jip is doing. And this is what your Rebbe has devoted his life to. That's what my Rebbe Zechino Vavra did. And he was tremendously successful, as he mentioned. Years ago, in 50, 60, high more, then it just shot up. We have branches. We have seven branches and 17 affiliates. All for one man. It's Rosh Hashanah. Do you remember what his scar is? The Kiruv he did? What he didn't bring people closer to the Yiddish guy? That's what we mean when we say that there's something even bigger than Kiruv Hashem, and that's Kiruv, bringing people closer to the Yiddish guy. And that's what you're doing here. If you can have Ashpo on a member of your family or a neighbor and bring him closer to the Yiddish guy, you should know. That is the biggest Kiddush Hashem. just before Hashem gave the Ten Commandments. He says, Onochi Hashem Elokecho, I am God your Lord, Asher Hotzisochem Eretz Yisrael, and I took you out of Mitzrayim. So Gedolim asked, Mefarshim asked, this is just before giving of the Ten Commandments. And Hashem wants to identify himself. Who is he? I am the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. What do you mean? For certain, but there wasn't something bigger than that? Lisa Maisa Bereshis, you created a world. Everything we have is from Hashem. Not just one act of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fact there's such a thing as a universe with people in it. The creation of the universe. Isn't that bigger? This is what they ask. Ramesh answers very simple. Others agree with him. The difference is because there is a process of understanding an Almighty that He created the world, He set it up, and now it runs on your own. There's no Hashgacha Pratius. Hashem does not give any individual attention to the person, to the individual. That's wrong. And that's why Hashem told before giving the Ten Torahs, I'm the God that took you out of Mitzrayim. You know, I took you out then, and I am watching over you consistently. I'm with you. We read in the Seder yesterday something very interesting. It was in the first month of the second year. On the first month, the Mishkan was erected. Moshe erected the Mishkan. But Chazal say it didn't come so easy. Hashem commanded Klal Yisrael to make the Mishkan. They had all the tools and all the material, but no one knew how to put it together. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't know either. There was no Rebbe. There's no one instructed them. There was no instruction booklet. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you go and build. He says, I don't know. Moshe told Hashem, I don't know. He said, go put your hands to the work. Asuk atov yudecho. Put your hands, let it appear. Do what you would do if you knew what to do, if this is what you're doing. Assuming that's it. Asuk atov yudecho. You have to work with your hands. Step over there and put your hands on the material. Start moving them around. And all of a sudden, kom v'nizkach mi'olav. If it was there, it was erected. And Moshe did it. So, what does Chazal take from that? He says, not just the question of the Mishkan. That wasn't just the Mishkan. Everything in life is like that. We think we're doing it. No. We put forth hishtavos. We have to put forth effort. And sometimes very hard. But how is our effort result bringing? Only through Hashem, you see. And that's what Moshe showed us. What did he do? He put his hand in, moved it up and down, and it's a gavon. Hukam Eilof. Everything we do in life is only through Kech of Hashem. We have to do it properly, not overdo it, and certainly not be negligent. We need Hishtalos, and that's what we have to put forth. We're complaining about the rain. A little while back, there was a situation, there was no rain. No rain for months. The Rabbanim says, the young Rabbanim that is, made an announcement to all the shuls that tomorrow we're all going to assemble in this park, tremendous area, and we're going to say to heal and we're going to pray for rain. Everyone comes to the park, or to Tillim, and they start saying, all of a sudden, the Zokan HaRabbanim, the elder, senior rabbi, says, Es vet gornisht helfen. You're not going to accomplish anything. Might as well go home. Rabbi, what are you saying? The young rabbi won't understand. But don't you see? We have our tillim. We're trying. Everyone's trying. And we're saying tillim. Isn't that something? So he said to him, "Do you see anything else?" "What do you mean, see anything? They're all holding tefillin. Are they holding anything else in their hands? Are they wearing anything special? Are they wearing raincoats? Do they have umbrellas in their hands?" "That's not your kavana. Rachmana liba boy. You want to pour out your heart to Hashem, you have to feel, it has to have a gosha, you have to have feeling there. It has to be meaningful. Just saying tilim, that won't do it. And if you didn't bring an umbrella, and if you didn't wear a raincoat, apparently you really don't think it's going to happen, because you're not going to put yourself out so much." And what to be when we say you have to try? Omar Otzo Aribachut. The laggard, the one who's lazy, he says, "I can't go out, I can't do, I can't go to shul. There's an Ari outside, there's a lion there." Ari Bachutz, Pesoch, Rechovas, Eretzeach, I'll be killed out there. There's too many problems. So someone asks, "What do you mean?" He says, "There's a lion out there and they can't go out. Is there a lion there or not? What you calling one otzel? If there's no lion there, then there's something wrong with him. He thinks there's a lion, there's nothing. Elva then, stamit, what is it? How do I understand it? You call him an otzel? And it's much more than that. He's a chakran. Or he's a meshugana. No. There is a lion there. But one thing, try, do something. Go through the door. Maybe look, maybe left. Maybe some chased him away. Do something. Vada, it's a difficult situation. But you have to put all your kekas into it. Just sitting back and say, "Well, the weather, whatever's outside, doesn't permit me to leave. Maybe things will change. Wait a half hour. You think it's a lion? Maybe someone will take the lion. Maybe that lion will run away. Otherwise, even though Taka is true, but you're not so. You're not really putting yourself into it." I'd like to give you a little method that you can test yourself. How are you progressing in your studies, in your learning, and maybe you can carry over to other pursuits also? There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that after Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we went through the Midbar 40 years, Yehoshua had the responsibility of conquering Eretz Yisrael. And at one point it seems that there's something was amiss. Yehoshua was in Jericho. And he big lift up his eyes. What did he see? There's a man, a powerful man standing in front of him. And his sword was lifted, and he says, what is this? What do you want? Ani Sar Tzov Hashem. I represent Hashem's army. And we have come to punish you. Why? What did you do? Yesterday, you did not sacrifice the proper korban. The akshav botalta talmud Torah. You've been negligent in your learning. There's something lacking in your learning. So he asked him, I'll azim him, bossa, which would you come for? Ata bossi. What does ata bossi mean? Machalikas Rashi and Tesis. Rashi is ata says, but you stopped learning. You're mavatal. Tesis says differently. Ata refers to a pasuk in the Torah. The ato kisu lochem hashir vazos. You should write this shiva, this song. The Torah, many times, is referred to as a song. What does it mean, it's a song? Because learning song, learning Torah has to be, in one respect, in one aspect, like a song, like a melody. A little while ago, I davened in Yom Yisrael Kabbalah Shabbos. And I wrote down the name, Chazan Shlomo Simcha from Canada. It was beautiful. I never heard a L'chol Dodi like that in my life. And for weeks afterwards, I remembered the melody, the tune. Torah has to be like that also. If you're learning and you like it, it becomes part of you. You learn it properly. You close the Gemara, you walk out, but that thought will come back to you. You'll think about it just like a tune, a beautiful melody. It's there. At the Kisra Zashira Zos. In this respect, Torah has to be like a melody, like a niggun, like a tune that captivated you. So the child is, when you're walking on the street, you left this year. You left your Seder, you left your Chavrusa. Is everything's cut out or no? Unwillingly, the thought comes back to you. It's there. It presents itself. You can't get out of your mind. If that's the case, you should know you're on a very high level, a very high madriga, because that's really how we're supposed to learn Torah. And it has to be in such a way, to such an extent, that even though I walk away from the Gemara, I walk away from the setup of the shir, but the thought, unwillingly, it just comes back to me. I can't stop thinking about it. That means Torah became a real part of you. Hashem shall help you, holy Yonim, as I say. We're talking about your work, and I say I'm very happy that I have a part of your work because I'm so close to your Rav. But remember, anything you do in terms of kiruv, outreach, is it Kiddush Hashem? It's bigger than the Kiddush Hashem. Nothing bigger than that. Why? Because you bring closer. And what are the reward? The reward is until when? Until Bias Mashiach, until redemption. That's when the real reward, Yischar, will manifest itself. Hashem shall help you in every way, and you shall have a question for you.
I have been, over the past 41 years, I've been contacting Revi or Mori to ask questions, 718-275-9414. And I'm wondering if anybody at this time would like to pose a Shaila question to Rabbi Nyman. You may do so at this time.
Wait a minute, I packed the book already. Here, I gave you.
Oh, yeah, this one. Yeah. And this, you know, the sheet for the lady.
It's very good. Made it much better for the women. What's important and what is superfluous, and what you're wasting your time for, and you're knocking yourself out in vain. It isn't necessary.
I have a Shaila that I would like to ask. I'm used to asking Rabbi Shailas, but before I do, anybody here have a Shaila? Anybody ask Rabbi Adam? This is a real opportunity. Can I say any subject? Any subject?
Right. I don't guarantee answers, but
any subject.
What would you say is a good way to try to balance the fact that, as you mentioned, we have to apply ourselves to work and we have to apply ourselves to Torah learning. What would you say is a good way to measure or evaluate how to balance those two things? Is there any advice you can give to how to evaluate how much of effort to put into one, if you have to do both, if you're not going to be a full-time Talmud Chacham, how do you balance that?
Yeah. You have a job, but L'moshel, you also took your savings and you suddenly got an idea, I'm going to invest it in the market, which I personally suggest you don't do it. But let's say you did. What kind of attention would you give to that? You'd automatically ask to go out for what are they called, barons? Financial. You'd be involved, right? You have money involved there. And you're going to watch your stocks very closely. That's what learning is. Your job, you must keep your job. You must do justice to your job and do the job properly. But other time, you have, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? Searching for the top line as much as you can. Not money in the stock market, but whatever you can in learning. I want to tell you a story, which I really can't digest myself. So I can tell it to you because I'm not expecting too much more than like myself. Reb Naftali Trupp, the grandfather of the Rebbetzin's Alel Shalom, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Raton, an outstanding goyin. He made Chofetz Chaim, he was a Chofetz Chaim's Rosh Yeshiva, and became very ill, very sick, critical. So the Bochum got an idea. We have to do it. Evan took upon himself to take so much time from his life, and he donated to the Chole should have a refuah shleima. And everyone gave. Some gave a half hour, an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, depends. And this meant, al pi halacha, that their life will be diminished, will be shortened by that amount of time. Then someone over to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, before we take them, how much will we give? The Chofetz Chaim thought for a few minutes, and he says, it's a true story. 1 minute. 1 minute. I'll tell you, it's mind-boggling. But we see what Torah is, what it means. See, as much as we can, we have to hop around. You must do your job, and you must do it faithfully, and you have to help out in the house and do what you need to help out your wife. But whatever you can, as much as possible, it should be learning. 1 minute, that's all. 1 minute. Chofetz Chaim, he's such a tzaddik, his mitzvahs and his learning. Everything was learning by him. He didn't say a shir. He said a shmoos. I think just on Shabbos. Maybe twice a week, I don't know. But he was learning the whole time. So 1 minute for your Rebbe. He's the Rosh Yeshiva. You took him as Rosh Yeshiva. When perhaps the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in his time. I mean, after it was great. You know, and after all, he was outstanding. All you're giving is 1 minute of your time. That's it, Rabbi Say.
Any other questions?
Another question. In Parshat Bo,
yes.
When Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu,
yes.
Just before the 10th plague, and he says that you have to take the tinsel and you have to put blood on the doorpost.
Yes.
And then you must make sure that everyone stays inside,
yes,
until the morning.
Yes.
And Rashi says that it's because the destroyer will not differentiate
between the righteous and the mashkes. Yeah.
And can you explain a bit of that insight as to what?
That's the metzius. The world was created in such a way, there is a Kuech HaMashkes, and once it's given Rishus, it has monopoly, it has free reign. Not much we can say. No reason, special reason for that.
Why is it in the Torah?
I said, I don't know. So we don't know reason for that. You see, that's a, but we know this is what it is, you see. Many things in learning we have to realize is not why, but what. What did the Torah say? I think it was Reb Naftali Trupp said that when we're learning, this is very important learning also, otherwise you can become tied up in knots. You can't always ask why, I don't, but what? Let's define what the Torah is saying here. What is halacha? What is taste is saying? Why? That's, no. At the redemption, we'll ask those questions.
So what do we learn from that?
Pardon?
What do we learn from that? What do we learn from that?
We just know what we're saying. We just know what happens. It's not something that we learn particularly from that. That's the way the makas were put out, set up. And in this particular situation, we had to be very careful. You want to say that goof of a learning father? Maybe that came shenit and reshus lahashkis. He has an open hand. There's such a thing. We have to, that doesn't apply just there. It can help others also. We have to be careful. But that approach will apply other places also. We don't know exactly, perhaps, the Gedorim, but maybe that's why we have to be very careful in certain areas where sakona, danger, is there. We see many times in halacha that shouldn't go out on a night light. Are we really afraid of going out on a night light? Yeah. Maybe that would go into the category that if the sultan is given the koyach to be mashkes, will be mashkes, you see. Other areas of danger that we think, it's nothing. No, it could be very dangerous, you see. When you're eating, you have to be careful to do what Chazal say. Don't just say it's nothing really to be worried about.
I'd like to ask Rebbe the following. Rebbe spoke about how important it is for us to appreciate the great value of Kiruv.
Yes.
If we can bring someone in, what a tremendous accomplishment that is for generations.
Le'ol Me'ad, right, Le'ol Me'ad.
So my question is the following. All of us in this room, we all know people, certain individuals, who seem to be light years away from any interest in Yiddishkeit.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that maybe I'll get this guy to come to a class or to participate. There are certain people we kind of write off. It seems like they're not candidates for Kiruv. Does Rebbe have any advice for how we can connect, how we can possibly influence individuals who we all know that just show no interest whatsoever?
First of all, you're right in using Seichel to concentrate your efforts on those that you think there's a possibility, but we don't give up on anyone. Invite him for a Shabbos. Be close to him. Talk to him. Become his friend. You don't know what and the Shabbos doesn't mean you sit down and you just keep on giving him ideas and thoughts. No, let him enjoy a Shabbos. You're not trying to convince him. Let him see what a Shabbos is, what a family is. That has tremendous good. You have something on your side, remember. Every Jew has a pentel yid. You just have to hit it the right way. It doesn't mean that you have to argue with them philosophy. Something will hit them. We don't know whether it's a Shabbos, whether he sees something, how you conduct yourself, Kiddush Hashem. There's a maisa in Manhattan about 2 months ago that in a office where a couple of Jews were working, but someone had a heart attack, and they called Hatzolah. One of the Jewish workers, Hatzolah, came, and the Goyim couldn't grasp what's happening here. They came so fast, and he says, this is something organized? See? Religious people? Yes? That's wonderful. That was real Kiddush Hashem. But I said, had they spent a little time with these fellow workers, maybe they did, I don't know, and try and get them closer to Yiddishkeit, it would be much. It's not just a Kiddush Hashem. What you're doing is it's doing Kiruv work, which is strong, which is high, which on a higher level than the Gvaldik Kiddush Hashem. It was a Gvaldik Kiddush Hashem, no question about it. But had they spent a little time afterwards, well, maybe like to come and see, take a course, hear a lecture, maybe like to learn a little Torah, where this all came from. You never know. You offer some, I'll sit down and learn with you. What can you teach? What are you going to show them? What's it all about? You never know. Learning Gemara, there's no question about it. You take, your logic tells you, I'll sit down with someone who had no shakas to the Gemara and start trying to teach him. Well, how can you do this? He doesn't understand the Gemara. It doesn't work that way. You sit down and learn somebody with the Gemara, believe it or not, it hits home and it's effective and becomes interested. Because we feel there is that tremendous receptivity, and that's what we have to work on.
So for those who are not, say, involved in teaching, and they're not in a position maybe to sit someone down, how could all of us here, how could we be most effective in getting people on board?
Inviting for Shabbos, inviting for Malal Malka, inviting for Kumsitz, and make sure my grand comes home. And what about Kumsitz? Why don't you come on and say something new? You never know what's going to hit him. It's these young people, intelligent people, and they're religious. There must be something there. And they talk to them. Yeshiva Bocha can use your prison. My grandson and others can express themselves very well. Bring them. Invite them. And Yeshiva will keep it also. It helps too.
I'd like to, on everyone's behalf, to thank Rebbe Umori for his inspiring, uplifting words. Again, a very big mazel tov on the chasana tomorrow night.
Thank you.
We hope that Rebbe's coming here in the difficult weather
right.
with the big simcha tomorrow night. It should be a big schus for the chasana and kala.
It's
for Rebbe and the Rebbe
you're doing
to have
here.
A lot of nachas.
The schus, what you're doing, what they're all doing here. The kiruv, remember, kiruv is more than a kiddush Hashem even. Truth of the matter, Cuba's kid is the biggest kid of Shishan.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to announce if anybody I just obtained the document today for a sale of chametz. If anybody would like to, we'd have that available. Everybody is welcome at this time to partake in the refreshments that are available. It's great to have you all, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.